Well, let's talk about sleeping this morning now that you're here. Let's look at it, Luke chapter 9 and verse 32 again, where the Bible says, "But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and two men that stood with him." And as we speak this morning on sleeping at the wrong time, I don't know about you, there's two things that people, people that tell me that are getting older, they say there's two things they enjoy in life as they do get older. Number one is eating, and number two is sleeping. Now, I'm not that age yet, so I don't know, but I will tell you this. I do enjoy laying down and getting a good rest. I enjoy it. I average typically between six and a half hours sleep a night or so. I get up around 7 hours sleep. It's a little bit too much for me, or eight, but sometimes I'm extremely tired, and Sylvia and I both, you know, we say, "Boy, today, you know, especially when we have a day where we do work a little bit later, about one day a week, we'll say, we just need to rest in just a little bit." But now, most of the time, it's about a 6 hour night for me, and I enjoy that. I enjoy that. I enjoy the rest that I get. But I'll tell you what, I enjoy sometimes just sleeping in awkward places. Oftentimes, I'll get up and I'll take an early flight out, and so I've got to be at the airport at like 3 or 4:30 or 5:30 in the morning. And so I'm getting up about 3:30 or so to head out to preach in somebody's church. And can I tell you, once I sit down on that airplane, I don't care who's around me. I really don't care. I don't care if I snore. Don't bother me at all. But I'll just rest my head. Some preachers that travel and preach, they say, "I can't sleep on a plane." But I make up for it. I can sleep on the plane. And so it doesn't matter if it's a short trip, or it doesn't matter if it's a long trip. Once we take off, now I'll try witness to the person before we take off. The reason I do that is because I won't remember to do it when I'm waking up out of my slumber. And so I witness to the person and have a good conversation with them, and oftentimes, however, I sit beside somebody and they don't want to shut up. I mean, I'll just talk to them and start to witness to them, and they're so full of God or so full of their other experiences that they'll take and they'll just talk on. They'll just talk on, and I'm thinking, you know, I just wanted to witness to you and get it over with. That's all I wanted to do, you know, be a good Christian, witness to you, give you the gospel, and after you get saved or at least give me a good opportunity to give the gospel, then it's time for you to go your way, me go my way, and me take my nap. But sometimes it's just not that way. I will sit beside somebody and they're just eager to share. I think it's because, you know, most planes where I see people flying out on, they don't talk to each other. It's kind of weird, you know. You see people, they're flying all the time, and I don't know if some of you fellows that are entrepreneurs or you have a business whereby you travel a lot, but I've noticed this on planes. People sit down, and they're right beside someone. It's not like you have to walk across the street to say howdy, but they just sit there on the plane, and they don't talk to the person the whole time. The whole time. Man, I talk to everybody. I'll talk to the person across the aisle. I'll talk to the person sitting beside me. And one time a lady tapped me on the back and she said, "Hey, I heard you talking to him about God. Can you talk to me about God?" And I said, "Sure, I'll be glad to talk to you about God." And so I was able to talk to her. That's only happened to me one time. But can I tell you, people do like to talk, and they like to have people to talk to them. But I've fallen asleep on the planes before. It doesn't bother me at all. Just enjoy it, especially when there's long trips to Southeast Asia or over to some other country. I enjoy getting that good long rest on that plane. But there's been times when I'd fall asleep in the car, not while I'm driving, but I'd fall asleep in the car. And I'm telling you the truth. The first time I ever went to Asia, I preached for Brother Renato Ribaton. And I told him, I said, "Look, I'm not coming to Asia to be on vacation. I'm coming here to witness and to give the gospel to as many people." I said, "You book me up as much as you can book me up. I just want to preach and I want to give the gospel to as many people as I possibly can." Well, he did. He booked me up as much as he could. I remember I preached 5 times on Sunday, and then we had the conference every night, and I'd preaching in the school in the morning times, and in the afternoons preaching in schools and giving out the gospel and going to colleges and giving out the gospel and things of that nature. But I remember sometimes I'd be preaching for him during the week, and he would preach me off even in the afternoon to a church or whatever, and I'd come back and I'd be heading back to his place there in Monopola, and I'd fall asleep in the car. Matter of fact, the driver he had was Jehu. Now, just like the driver that drove the chariot there in the Bible, Jehu. And boy, Jehu, he reminded you of the one that drove the chariot in the Bible. I mean, he was fast, and when he would take those corners, you know, it'd jar you to wake you up just a little bit. But I remember falling asleep in the car, and I'd sometimes sit in a chair, you know, and boy, I tell you what, if I'm preaching and I'm doing a lot of that, and I'd sit on the, not a platform, but on a chair, and I'd fall asleep in the chair. I remember falling asleep in the subway while on the subway car. I remember falling asleep. I remember taking Amtrak one time up to New York City, and I took Amtrak, and boy, they had these little bitty things that you get into. They call them cars that you get into, and you got your own little space in there. It's got a place you can get in there and just climb up in there and take a nap or whatever, or sleep, and you know. And so I remember doing that. I had a friend of mine that every time that this friend rides on the back of a motorcycle, now get a load of this, every time they ride on the back of the motorcycle, they fall asleep. I think that would be kind of dangerous, don't you? And so you're on the back of a motorcycle and you're traveling across the country and whatnot. Say, did you enjoy the scenery? No, I didn't enjoy it. Why didn't you enjoy it? I was sleeping the whole time, you know? Now, I know that there's church members, not you, I'm sure, not you. You know where I'm going, not you. But I'm sure there's church members that fall asleep in the pews. Not you. I'm sure in other Baptist churches around America, there's people that fall asleep in the pew. I've seen young people fall asleep while they're eating. You ever seen somebody do that? I've seen little children, and they'll be eating, and all of a sudden they begin to doze off, and you just kind of watch them. You know what's coming up. And I've seen them fall asleep and their head go right down into the plate. I'm talking about right down smack dab into the middle of the plate. And then they rise up and they got food all over their forehead and stuff like that. People sleep in strangest places. They really do. I've been down to parks and I've seen people sleeping on the benches. New York City, when we lived in Brooklyn, we would go down in different avenues, if you would. We'd see the homeless people and they'd be sleeping out there next to a building. Here in Dallas, you can go. And homeless people sometimes will sleep underneath bridges. You see people sleep in the strangest places. I've been in coffee shops, and I've seen people that's over there, and they're asleep with their head on their table. These are outstanding-looking type of business people, but I guess they needed that afternoon nap or something. And so they went to a coffee shop. They drank their coffee, and they put their head down. I've seen people sleep in hammocks. They go out and they purchase a hammock and they put it between two trees or maybe between two people, I don't know. But they'll have that hammock there and they'll sleep in that hammock. I've seen unusual places where people sleep. Balconies. Tops of roofs. Now I'm talking about the flat ones now. Yeah, I'm just trying to help you. But, you know, I've seen people sleep in different places. Now, here's what we see in our scriptures. We see different people that slept. Adam slept. The Bible talked about the first surgery ever took place. God put him to sleep and took out a rib. And there created or made Eve. You think about different ones. Abraham slept with his fathers. Means he went home to be with the Lord. You think about Jonah. Jonah was a backslider. But Jonah, even during a backsliding state, he slept. You think about Jacob. Jacob slept, found himself a hard pillow, but he slept on the rocks. You think about different ones that slept. There was Samson in the Bible, and he knew what he was supposed to do to obey God, and Delilah had tricked him into telling what he was supposed to do to obey God, and she cut, of course, his hair, but he fell asleep in a wicked woman's lap. You think about John. John was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and he slept. You think about Jesus in the backside of that which is the ship, and all of a sudden the storm comes and pushes the ship from one side to the other, and Jesus was able to sleep through that stormy night. So many times in the Bible you see about people that sleeping, but there is some times that you're not supposed to sleep. There's some times in the Bible where we'll see that sleeping is good and sleeping is profitable. But can I tell you, there's some times in the Bible we see that sleeping is not supposed to be done at these times. So let's look at our scriptures again if we can. Here's what we're going to see. Go to Luke chapter 9 and verse 32. Luke chapter 9 and verse 32. We read it a moment ago. We're going to read it again. I'm going to read you some other scriptures relating to this particular passage. Here you'll see that there's Peter. The Bible says, and they that were with him. The Bible says they were heavy with sleep. Heavy with sleep. Now, by the way, have you ever heard somebody that's heavy with sleep? Have you ever slept in the room with a snorer? Heavy with sleep. I was preaching up in Potts Camp or somewhere, I forget, Mississippi, and a pastor friend of mine, is up in Tennessee. He heard I was preaching up in Tennessee, and he called me up. He said, look, he said, preacher, I'd like to come hear you preach. He said, but to be honest with you, I just need some money. He was another preacher. He said, to stay in a hotel room. I said, oh, brother, don't worry about that. You stay with me. You stay with me. It'll be fine. You just stay with me. And so he came in, and he didn't tell me he was bringing his brother with him, so now I had two. And so he brought his brother with him, and I said, okay, I said, this would be fine. I said, we got two beds in here. If you guys don't mind sharing a bed, then you can stay with me. That'd be fine. I was preaching that week, and of course I like to study a lot when I'm preaching, and I like to pray a lot. And so it came time to study that night and to pray that night, and one of the guys had rolled up in the bed early. And boy, I noticed that he started making weird noises. And it sounded like just like a little kid snoring. I thought, well, that's okay. We'll get by with that. That's all right. But the later it got, the louder he got. And so I went over and tried to rustle him up and said, come on now, wake up. You can't do that. Go, you know, just turn over. So he turned over. Did you know all through the night, it seemed like the darker it got, the later, or if you would please, at night that it got, the louder he got. You could almost feel the room sucking in and expanding as this guy snored. And finally, his brother got up. I said, where are you going? He said, I can't stay in this room. He said, I appreciate you allowing me to stay, but I can't stay in here. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going down to the lobby. They got sofas down there. So he went down to the lobby and slept. He escaped his own brother. And here I am, through the night, I'm saying, hey, brother. And I make sounds. And finally, I got this idea, if I just shout real loud, I'm just going to shout. It's either going to wake him up or he's going to die of a heart attack, but I'm going to get some sleep. And so it was real quiet, you know, except for him expanding and snoring. And so with all my might, I mustered up and I said, hey! And I shouted and he sat up just like that. I thought, this is good. You know, and he looked around and I thought, I'm going to go to sleep straight away. And so I laid down and I turned over and I tried to go to sleep straight away. And did you know, after he did that, he looked around, laid back down, went straight to sleep and snored louder than he did before. Now, some people, can I tell you, they get with it when it comes to this heavy sleeping. And here's what you see. Statement number one, they slept and missed his person. Here's what you see. Something miraculous is taking place here in this particular passage. You'll see that now Jesus is here. And Jesus, if you would please, is getting ready to meet with his Father in prayer. And he meets with his Father in prayer on the Mount of Transfiguration. And as he meets with his Father in prayer, he tells these fellas, he said, look, I'm going to go and pray. You stay here. You watch and pray. Now, he came back and they were asleep. And as they slept, did you know they missed all that was taking place? Oh yeah, the Bible does say in verse 32 that they woke up, they saw his glory, they saw the two men, we believe Moses and Elijah is described there in the Bible, saw two men standing beside him, saw the glory, but can I tell you, they missed They miss seeing the whole thing take place. You know why? Simply because they slept. You know, a lot of Christians today are sleeping. Did you know that? Did you know a lot of Christians today are sleeping spiritually? Did you know that? Did you know a lot of young people today are sleeping spiritually? Did you know that they'll come to church and they're asleep, but their spirit is not with that which is the Word of God. It's the Word of God is being preached, and they simply are just there. They may not be asleep as far as physically is concerned, but they're asleep mentally. They're asleep spiritually. And here's what we see. You can miss the very presence of God. You can miss the very presence of what Jesus Christ wants to do in your life if you do not stay awake. You know, 30 years later now, here it is, 30 years later, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, Peter is going to talk about what took place on that night of transfiguration. 30 years later, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, and when, it says, we were with him in the holy mount. They remembered of the time. Peter relatively remembers the time when all of a sudden he woke up and he saw the glory of God. But can you imagine what he missed? Can you imagine what he missed? Is he could have seen everything taking place, and he could have been able to see peering over there that which is Christ, and Christ, if you would, sweating those great drops of blood. Could you have seen the glory of God shining on Christ's face as all of a sudden this is taking place? And he woke up and he saw Moses and Elijah, and he went to the Lord. He said, let me build you three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, wait a minute. They were so enamored. They were so struck. They were so awed by that which they did see, but they only saw a part of it. You know, you can come to church and only see a part of it. You see people do this. You see people, you won't believe it, but you'll see people go to church and they stay on their cell phones the whole time. What's happening? That's just like a person that's asleep. They're missing out. They're not seeing the whole thing. You see people that get enamored with other people, and they come to church, and as they come to church, they're all about somebody else's business, and they're chitter-chattering, and they're not paying attention to that which is the person of Christ and what Christ wants to do in them and through them. And because of that, they miss it. It's just like falling asleep. May I say this statement, number one, they slept and they missed the person of Christ and all that he had done. Watch this statement, number two. They slept and they missed his passion. Now watch this, if you will, in your scriptures. Here you'll see, if you will, please, strange thing has happened at the Garden of Gethsemane. At the Garden of Gethsemane, you see that Jesus is being betrayed now by Judas. And it seems like that people were missing his passion. Look at it, verse 45. The Bible says this. Luke chapter 22, verse 45. The Bible says, and when he arose, it says, up from prayer, and it says, was come to his disciples and found them sleeping, it says, for sorrow. The Bible says, and he said unto them, sleep ye on. It says, arise and pray and enter not into temptation. So he says this. He says, why sleep ye? He said, sleep on there after a while, but he said, why sleep ye? He said, arise that you enter not into temptation. Now, can I say this morning, that sometimes we sleep, and because we sleep, we're not spiritually alert, and we get overtaken by that which is temptation. You know, with every temptation that comes to you, dear friend, in 2022, God makes a way to escape. God makes a way to escape. You do not have to succumb to that which is temptation. Here we'll see that he was all about that which is the passion of obeying his Father. He was all about the passion of praying to his Father and asking his Father. Matter of fact, in verse 42, the Bible says this. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so he was willing to obey the Father in everything that God had for him, even though it was going to be agony, even though he's going to be facing the cross, even though it's going to be times, if you would please, of loneliness and a kind of disparity, if you will. But yet the Bible teaches that Christ was willing to do all whatever the Father wanted him to do, even though it involved agony. He was willing to be able to lay his life down. He was willing to be able to do that for you and I. Even on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so we understand this. We understand that there are those that were asleep right there. And they missed all that was taking place as, of course, he comes to them. Now watch this, if you will, in verse 46, the Bible says, and he said unto them, it says, why sleep ye? He says, rise and pray that ye enter not into temptation. I do think that many times, if we're not careful, because of the fact we're not spiritually alert, we get overtaken. We get overtaken. And you ought not ever to be in a place where you can be overtaken by that which is temptation. Well, how do you do it? You stay awake and let God be able to work in your life. You know, we have so many different preachers that grace this pulpit. So many different types of preachers. I've said before, we have the storytellers. I said before, we have the people that are, they'll pound the pulpit and they'll walk back and forth and raise their voices. I've said before that you'll have people, if you would please, that will teach the Bible. Great Bible teachers. And you know what would be a shame is if we are not alert and we're asleep and we're not paying attention to what is taking place. And as we learn about the passion of Christ, you know, today in our society, people are all about the negative. But we're living in a time of very precious things that God's doing among God's people. People are being more stirred to be able to get up the gospel than ever I've seen before. It's during these perilous times that we live in that you and I ought to be excited about getting out the gospel and helping people to come to know the true gospel of Christ so that they can understand that only through Christ can you have that which is forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And you know this, did you know that because of that which is the passion of Christ, because of what he did for you and I, we ought to be more excited about living for God today than we ever was before because of what he did for us. I don't know about you. I can never get over the fact that I'm saved. I can't get over that. I know where I came from. I know where I should be going. But because I'm saved and because I've been washed in the blood and because I've been delivered, I can never get over the fact that once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you receive Christ, it is settled forever. And can I say that which is the person of Christ, I don't want to miss what he does. That which is the passion of Christ, I want to be consumed with that passion that Christ has. You ought to be consumed and want to be consumed with that passion of being able to reach the lost with the gospel. But then watch this, here it is. They slept, they missed his person. They slept, if you would please, they missed his passion. They slept, and watch this, you can miss his purposes. God's got some neat things. Look at it. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Here you see it talks about the kingdom of heaven and is likened unto 10 virgins. And the Bible talks about these that were bringing their lamps. They were coming, if you would please, to meet the bridegroom. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 2, that five of them were wise and five were foolish. Now watch who the wise are and watch who the fools are. The Bible says they were foolish. It says took their lamps. Listen to it. And it says, and took no oil with them. So here's the ones not planning ahead. 2022 ought to be a time where we plan ahead. One thing I've learned to do over the years is to get a planner of some type. Some people use the Franklin Covey. Some people use At a Glance. That's what I use. Some people use their computers. But to plan ahead, and what a joy it is to be able to plan ahead and know what you're going to do and know when you're going to do it and get it down, and whether it's with relatives, whether it's with friends, whether it's with serving Christ through the local church, whether it is being able to do something else to be able to advance the cause of Christ or your marriage or your family, whatever it is. But being able to plan it. And these five, if you would please, foolish, did not plan ahead. They didn't have any oil in their lamp. The Bible says, and watch it in verse 4, we're in Matthew 25, the Bible says, but the wise took oil, it says, in their vessels and in their lamps. And it says, and while the bridegroom, watch it in verse 5, it says, tarried, it says, they slumbered and slept. Now, wait a minute. It's good to slumber and sleep, if you will, when you have everything in order. When you have everything in order, I do a lot of counseling with young married couples, a lot of counseling with people who's been married for some time. You know, and in counseling, even young married couples, before they get married, I say one of the things you need to do when you get married, get yourself a life insurance policy. And that way it's not a burden to your wife if you die. She don't need to have all the burdens of the finances. Make sure you get good coverage, good life insurance policy for you. I tell to get a good life insurance policy, not as much for the wife. You don't know. You're not promised tomorrow. You don't know what's going to come down the pike. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, and I always instruct young people when they get married to be able to do that so that they can take care of things for the spouse or maybe for their children as they have children at a young age and be able to take care of those children. Now, what's that called? That's called planning ahead. That's called planning ahead. It would be good for you to sit down sometime with a financial counselor. It would be good for you to sit down sometime with somebody that has done well with their marriage. It would be good for you to sit down sometime with somebody that's done well with their children to be able to ask wisdom and ask some advice about what to do and how to do. These five foolish ones, if you would, they didn't plan ahead. Now, both of them is going to go slumber. Both of them is going to go to sleep. But the ones that were wise when the Lord came, if you would, or when the bridegroom had come, it was okay because they were well prepared. Now, you don't know when the Lord's going to come. You don't know when you're going to be taken home. I'm not talking about rapture. I'm talking about your individual life. You don't know when that's going to come to an end. So it would be good for you to be well prepared. It would be good for you to prepare for this year that we're in, 2022. What are some things that you're lacking in your life that you need to put in your life to sharpen you as a Christian, to help you to become everything that you need to be for Christ during the year of 2022? Can you look back and evaluate and say, well, you know, 2021, I had this goal and I missed it. I had this goal and I missed it. I had this goal and I missed it. Well, if you missed it, why did you miss it? What is it that you could do different in 2022 that you did not do in 2021 to be able to hit those goals, what those goals are in your personal life? I was meeting with a businessman, and he said this. He said, in 2021, he said this. He said, I missed this, I missed this, I missed this. I was talking to him the other day on the phone, and he said this. He said, but here's how I'm restructuring some things to be able to hit this and make this better. Amen. Now, can I tell you, thinking ahead helps. Amen. It helps. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I didn't have many friends in 2021. Okay, then what do you need to do different in 2022 to make that difference? Well, I failed in teaching my children this in 2021. What can you do different, my friend, to help them to be able to overcome that lack that you could put in their lives in 2022? Well, I wasn't a good friend in 2021. What could you do to become a better friend in 2022? I mean, I'm saying get some goals in your life, short range, mid range, long range. Get some goals in your life. Don't leave Christ out. Put Christ first. Keep him first where he needs to be. But also have some goals to be the right type of husband, be the right type of wife. Have some goals to be the right type of father, be the right type of mother. Have some goals to be the right type of grandparent. Have some goals to be the right type of child, be the right type of friend. Have some goals to be the right type of church member. Have some goals to be the right type of soul winner. Have some goals to be the right type of business person. Have some goals in your life and then put it down and show yourself how is it that you can accomplish the goals. Why? Because if you don't purpose it, you're going to wind up sleeping all the way through. I don't know how many times I've talked to people that are older people. They say, I wish I would have. I wish I would have. I'm talking to middle-aged young people now. They're saying, you know, I wish I would have did this different. If I had to do it all over again, preacher, I wouldn't have did it this way. I wish I would have did it different. You can't relive the past. Let me help you. You can't relive the past. But what you can do is you can start off where you are and say, this is what I'm going to do now. This is what I'm going to do now. This is, you know, I know people that used to be faithful to church, not faithful no more. I know people that used to be soul winners, not soul winners no more. I know people that used to be soul conscience, not soul conscience anymore. I know people that used to be good parents, not good parents anymore. I know people that used to be good with their marriage and they're not even working on their marriage anymore. I know kids that used to be, the parents would look at the child and say, I'm so blessed that that person is my child. Now they look at the child in disarray and heartbreak. Now can I tell you, what is it that you can do in your life in 2022 that could be totally different than what you did in 2021? Could you bring more joy to people in their life? Could you be more of a blessing than a burden? Could you do it? Could you help somebody to make it further in their business or in their relationships with their spouses or their children? Could you help somebody in being a better person for Christ? Could you help them? I'm saying this. I'm saying they missed his purposes. Look at it here, if you will, in verse 8. The Bible says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us, it says, of your oil. And it says, for our lamps are gone out. So what they do? They're trying to borrow. Why don't you give us what you got? You know, I know most people are not selfish. I know this to be true. Most people are not selfish. Most people are giving people. But if you see a rascal that's not working, not doing their best, and then they come to you and you've worked hard and you know their character, they're not working, they're not giving it their best, they're not even trying, and they're always coming to you saying, can you help me with this? I'm short on money, can you pay this for me? They're always coming and begging. I came up short on this, can you please take care of this for me? You know, after a while, that grows old. Now, I'm just being honest with you. It grows old. Grows old. We've had people at our church here that have gone from one person to another person to another person to another person. And after a while, somebody would see them coming and they would walk the other way. You know why? Because they knew what they wanted. They wanted to borrow a little money here, borrow a little money here, borrow a little money here. That ought not be your character. That ought not be your testimony. Now, thank God for people that give. Thank God for people that help. But you ought to be able to stand on your own two feet and decide that you're going to be that one that will help, not that one that's always in need. By the way, can I help you a little bit? You'd be surprised if you serve God and you walk with God, how God will help provide your need. You really would. You'd be surprised how God would answer your prayers and how God would be good to you. You'd be surprised how God says, if you put me first, he said, then I'll add some things to your life. I'll add all these things he talks about in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But he'll even add substance. He says, when you give of your first fruits, he said, I'll make sure your barns are filled. Now, that's what he says. So if I keep him first financially, he'll help me financially. As a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, so it is in every area of life. If I take and I put him first in every area of life, can I tell you, then he'll make sure I reap. Oh, I'm so sorry for Christians today. I'm so sorry for Christians. Christians that say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm only going to call on God when I have a great need. And then I think sometimes the Lord just turns his head, kind of laughs a scorn, if you will, because we just call on him out of a great need. I say, he still loves you. Don't misunderstand me here. But wouldn't it be better to be like Hezekiah the king? When Hezekiah became nigh unto death, he called on the Lord and he said, this is what I've done, and this is what I've done, and this is what I've done, and this is what I've done. And he reminded the Lord, and because of that, God gave him 15 extra years to live. I'd like to live a life like that, wouldn't you? here it is, I close. Now watch this if you will. We're in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 7. The Bible says, and there arose, it says, the virgins, it says, and they trimmed their lamps. Then it says in verse 8 or 25, verse 8, the Bible says, the foolish, they came unto the wise, of course, and they're asking. Then verse 9, the Bible talks about this. It says, and the wise answered, saying, no. Lest we be not enough of us, it says, and you, and go ye rather, it says, to them and sell and to buy for yourselves. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. The Bible says, and watch, they'd already went out to the marriage. They already went out with him to the marriage. So they're out here doing this because they procrastinated. The Bible says, and the door was shut. They came and the door was already shut. Now why? Because they had procrastinated. I don't know about you, but I think what we should do is this. We should try and put him first and foremost. And don't put him at the latter end. Don't give him leftovers. Well, I tell you what, my mother was a good cook. She was a good cook. But we'd look at each other as boys, and we'd say, what do you think's for supper tonight? And we don't know. One of the boys would say, I'm going to go ask Mama. And when he would go in and ask Mama, and Mama would say, well, we got leftovers tonight. We never got excited about that. Hello? How many of you are eating turkey now and ham for the ninth meal? We were in evangelism. We were preaching in a church in Louisiana. True story. Preaching in a church in Louisiana. My children will remember this. For breakfast, they brought in rice and beans. We thought, well, it's a different breakfast, but praise the Lord. That's good. For lunch, they brought back the rice and beans, same ones. For supper, you want to guess? It was rice and beans. The next day, we saw the ritual was going to continue, and my children said, Daddy, can we get a hamburger? You know, sometimes you have to understand that you've got to add different things in order to get a different outcome. You know, if your Christianity is boring, I love you, but you're the one living in that body. If things are not going well for you, you can't blame your daddy, you can't blame your mama, you can't blame your brother, you can't blame your sister, you can't blame an aunt or an uncle. If you're not excited about serving God, you're the one not excited. You have to change something inside of you. Why is it that other people are excited? They got a different Jesus? They got a different God? Oh, I know, maybe they're reading a different Bible. Is that what it is? Why is it that some people are just excited about serving God while other people are just barely making it? He is the same God. He's the same God that answers prayer. He's the same God that comes through. Might it be that we're like these that are the foolish? We're putting other things as our priorities. We're putting him ladder down the road. Then all of a sudden, when it comes to that time of being accountable, when it comes to that time, if you would please, of being in the right place at the right time, we always come up short. Now, may I say this? There's times that you ought to sleep. There's times you get tired and you ought to get your favorite pillow, get your favorite blanket, find your favorite sleeping quarters, and roll up, have a good night's sleep. But there's other times when it ought not be that way. And you can find yourself sleeping at the wrong time and kind of come up lacking. Because you're not doing what you should be doing at the right time. Father, bless, I pray. Thank you for today. And God, I pray that you'd help us. 2022, may it be a time that we decide that we're going to sleep during the right time. And Father, I pray that you would show us, Father, things that we can do better in 2022 than we did in 2021 or years prior. Father, help us to get some objectives. Help us to get some goals. Goals in our life physically, sure. Goals in our life socially, sure. But help us also to be able to put you first in our life and have those as the major goals to be able to help us, because all else changes beside that. Then, dear Lord, if there's somebody else here that knows not Christ as Savior this morning, may they see their need of Christ. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name.